You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
After Party for Westworld, which is like my favorite new show now, pretty much.
It's been a busy year, and so I have to be very selective about what I pick. And when I saw this, and I saw the cast involved, and I saw the creative team, I was like, this seems like the safest gamble, and it's really paid off in spades.
Yeah,
I think this is one of my favorite shows, not just of this year, but in a long time.
This new episode, episode 4, Dissonance Theory, really brought out some big stars to work on it. We've got director Vincenzo Natale, who did a lot of things. A lot of people still know him best by his shot across the bow with the film Cube,
yeah,
which everybody loved. And then written by Jonathan Nolan and Ed Brubaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, holy shit.
The best, you know, hard-boiled writer in comic books today, easily.
No, yeah.
There's really no competition comes close.
Which makes sense, because this episode has that same level of grim metaphysical
This was a gritty motherfucking episode. Like, almost every time you're in the park, it's, you know, they're well into action sequences. It starts off with once again, where we're talking to with Jeffrey Wright talking to Dolores, and she's kind of mirroring stuff in that conversation that he said about his own child, as far as, like, you know, holding on to the pain of the death of a loved one, and definitely, like, alarm bells going off for anybody, mm-hmm, who knows anything about AI, going like, she seems like she may be getting a little bit more conscious than even you thought. And indeed, instead of having her reset, which would, you know, have her just move to her house and start all over again, they're keeping her in this storyline with William, who's our, you know, kind of character stand-in, audience stand-in character, our guest.
The guy who has a hard time playing a black hat in video games.
Just like
me.
Like,
but it's probably more fun to be evil, but then I keep making the decisions that are, like, helping people and saving the baby.
I've played both, and yeah, I tend not to. I tend to like being kind of scoundrel, like a Han Solo dude, but I don't go, like, far over into the dark side.
Right.
Yeah, that's shitty.
As opposed to his friend Logan, who Ben Barnes, once again here, he is just full blown even more of a scoundrel than we imagined.
It's like, and he's got a good line in this where the guy's like, Jesus Christ, you've become this totally moral dick, and he's like, dude, we're in a game.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Which we even as an audience keep forgetting sometimes.
Exactly, because we're, you know, these are very realistic characters, and so we get caught up in them as by design. And yeah, it's like, oh yeah, well he's not actually killing quote unquote anyone, but is he? Yeah. I mean, you know, I think there's obviously going to be some firm questions asked about, you know, what is sentience and what is intelligence.
Of course.
And obviously there are some characters in this, like Dolores, that are kind of getting caught up and more into the idea of wait a second, they're starting to see the strings on their wrists and legs and are wondering about them.
I mean, I think the high point moment of that story with Barnes and with Logan and William is them going, like, just showing us a little bit of how the game works sometimes, where, mm-hmm, he's like, shoots the sheriff guy immediately, the bounty hunter guy immediately. Fred's like, what are you doing? And he's like
you
don't understand. I had no idea. That was an Easter egg that leads us to one of the really awesome games,
right,
instead of the stupid one you've got us on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, apparently the stuff that's, you know, obviously there's got to be blogs and stuff where people talk about their experiences with Westworld.
Sure, absolutely,
online.
Yeah.
And so this is like one of those missions that's actually super hard to get into.
Yeah, it's just like any other, and, you know, that's the frustrating thing about writing for games is when you have something really cool and secret, you know, it's not going to be out for more than, you know, it probably won't even get out of beta without somebody going like, all right, so if you want to beat this, if you want to beat this puzzle, or you want to do this,
here's how you do it.
You don't want to figure it out yourself, here's how you do it. And I have used these things myself when
right,
playing their stuff. I think anybody who plays games who's like, you know, maybe you're not a puzzle guy, you just want to get to the ultraviolence and get some cool loot, hey, you know, more power to you. And that's what Barnes, that's Logan's character, you know,
yeah,
it's like, And obviously he's been here before, and so some of the novelty's gone, and he's just like, yeah, I'm here to fucking drink. But and apparently is checking out some business opportunities is one of the little things that they drop
that
in here.
His family is connected in some way to the actual establishment of Westworld itself, it sounds like.
And once again, what you're wondering about, like, what is the morality of the people who are investing in something like this? Or where the fuck is this place? Is it in space? Yeah. Just say it. Is it in space?
Just say it's in space. Or under the ocean.
Yeah. Someplace Bioshocky, the regular rules don't apply.
We also, of course, got more of the Man in Black than we've ever gotten so far.
Yeah, this was like full out, like, you know, spaghetti western with Ed Harris, and you know, they dropped a lot of stuff about him that he, you know, he is actually a real person, or at least whoever he looks like is a guy who is at least some kind of philanthropist or, you know, money mover or something in the real world.
But
because
he has a relationship of some sort to the missing, was it Arnold, I think? Or
something like he's more than aware of Arnold, but at one point, two of the, you know, whoever the evil El Chavez character is, who, you know, plays a big part in the ending of this episode, and is rescued by Ed Harris in his bit. Two of the guests that are playing along as part of his crew go up to Ed Harris, you know, and it's like, you know, meeting a celebrity on the bus or something. And they're just like, oh, dude, we really love your work, and, you know, you actually helped save my sister's life. And he's like, fuck the fuck off.
I wonder if he's the brother of the guy who died.
There's some kind of relationship there, or maybe he was an initial investor, or there's something to be.
What is it that, like, even so, the things he says sometime make me think that, like, maybe my theory before about him being a robot imbued with the spirit of art.
There's a really, the way that, and I don't know, this is, like, one of my things that could totally be an overprojection, but the way that Ford says the name Arnold sounds so disjointed and weird. I'm like, is there something else there? There's got to be something else there. There's just something, like, you know, are you using a code name? Are you really talking about yourself? Are you a robot? I don't fucking know. It's Westworld.
Well, they keep coming back and like, oh, we thought we know this, but now it's a little different than you thought it was. Like, even that something as simple as, oh, it's the constellation Orion. It's like, no, it actually isn't, with an offhand remark. There's too many, there's not enough stars on this thing for it to be Orion. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what is it then?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's in space.
But Ed Harris, yes, once again, knocked it out of the park this episode. So creepy, but really, really.
But just he's also, you know, he's totally the Clint Eastwood badass that we all root for. he's like, you can see where Ed Harris or Ed Brubaker is coming into play here, because the little jailbreak sequence was straight out of anything he would have written for, you know, a hard-boiled crime novel.
And as well, we get to see Anthony Hopkins.
And plus, to see the exploding cigar bit in that way.
It's so nice.
Well done. Nicely played.
Anthony Hopkins gets to pretty much... is starting to put his thing down. His, obviously, the...
Oh, dude, yeah.
I get the feeling, like, the whole new... Like, from what he said, it sounds like the whole new thing he's written has been planned for a very long time.
And he's tearing down, like, things that have been here for a very long time.
And seeing that storyline is worming its way into so many other storylines all of a sudden, which even some of the guys are saying, yeah, this storyline he's doing is interrupting a lot of shit going on in the park.
There's this, it seems to be purposeful, and he's got that great line. So I'm not a sentimentalist.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, which is weird because, like, our first time we meet him actually in the world, he's like, you know, dealing with this child that used to be him, quite obviously. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, you seem kind of sentimental there, or at least something. But you're like, okay, well, what was he exploring then?
Yeah.
Which is a good little shout out. But yeah, his confrontation with, what's her face?
Teresa Cullen.
Teresa Cullen is, yeah, it's like straight up like Tywin Lannister, Olyanna, Tyrell caliber. Like, oh, you think you're gonna come in here and fuck with me? No, 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 no. You thought you're taking on Street Fighter? I'm Muhammad fucking Ali.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, you money people, you make me laugh.
Yeah,
but you think you have any real power here? Yeah, it will be interesting to see in the end where those characters are all going to fall. I suspect, like,
yeah, because she looked legitimately like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I thought I had a handle on this, and I am out of my water.
I can't tell if Anthony Hopkins is going to make it through the end of the season.
Yeah, no. He might Sean Bean out.
Yeah, I'm
end.
Feeling he might get Sean Bean'd out.
Yeah.
You know, like he has the...
And, you know, it's Hopkins. He's like, old. He's, you know, I could, yeah, absolutely like see him go, like, with, I'll do a season, and yeah, that's all you get.
It ends with him, like, you know, going, pulling the kill switch, as we mentioned last episode.
Yeah,
you guys all
means.
Kill. And all the humans trapped in there, and then, you know, him choosing to die.
Yeah,
and go out that
now you
got
to figure out your way out. Congratulations.
Yeah, and this was an excellent episode. I mean, so far it's 4 for 4, but this honestly is right up there with the first
episode. No, this supercharged and, like, the you know, we had our first two, which were heavy world builders, and then, as we discussed in the last episode, we kind of had a little palate cleanser with the third episode, nothing too heavy. And this one was, like, to anyone who, you know, and I don't know why you would complain about this, seeing as there has been plenty of action prior, but this was jam-packed.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's one gunfight after another.
And every character got big revelations. Sandy Newton realizing that she has seen this thing and realized that she's seen this thing multiple times before.
Yeah, the Native American, like, you know, like, mysticism that's going into it. And, yeah, that last bit where she actually cuts a bullet out. She's like, oh, dude, somebody didn't do their job. But,
that's so great. She's like, none of this matters.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, they're gonna die, but
that's a great it's such a great exit
line.
It's so
existentialist and brutal. It's just like, it's so Ed Brubaker.
It's like, welcome to John Paul Sartre's nausea world.
John Paul Sartre world. I don't think I would visit that, actually. Anyway,
it would literally be called Nausea World.
Yes, it would. No exit. Where's the exit?
There is no exit. Damn it.
Anyway, that's episode 4. We'll be back in another week with episode 5. Can't wait.
Yep.